Point Guard is a production of iHeartRadio.
The best program in the country.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So, like for me, it wasn't even, like, proven to anybody outside of Los Angeles. I think we had to prove who we was in Los Angeles first.
Yeah.
Not being afraid to play against a Crenshaw team. Mm-hmm. Expose you to some high-level competition, but it also made you either gonna sink or swim.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are back. Slick presents the Point Guard Podcast. I'm your host, Baron Davis, a.k.a. Too Easy, a.k.a. Boom Dizzle. Shout out to iHeartMedia. Ladies and gentlemen, you know that I get excited about my guests. And this guest, I'm super excited about, hails from Inglewood, California. The first quarterback in my life. A point guard, dual sport, great grades, real as they come, LA legend. Ladies and gentlemen, this man took AAU basketball, from what I saw, and it created a dynasty team and was the leader and led the whole class of 96. No matter how big they got, what All-American they became, they had to humble themselves around one of the godfathers of L.A. Took his talents from Inglewood High School. Actually, he was at Westchester first.
All right.
Really, he was at Westchester cracking first. Left his senior season. Went to Inglewood, became an All-American, scholarship at Syracuse, ran up in there on the East Coast in Syracuse, and established LA point guards on the East Coast in the Big East. Named Syracuse all-time leader in steals. Named to the Syracuse all-century team. Drafted in the year 2000 by the Milwaukee Bucks. Played 10 years in the NBA. Led grown men. I watched grown, successful basketball players humble themselves when he was talking to them. A man of wisdom, razor sharp, a killer. Honestly, he is the definition of a killer. That was my first quarterback. He's my first point guard. He is now the head coach of the Ignite G League team. Ladies and gentlemen, the legendary, the LA pioneer, Jason Hart.
BD.
Hey, man, they standing up. Hey, they standing up in Inglewood. Standing up. Hey.
Hey, man, that got to be the sickest intro I've ever had in my life. I swear, ain't nobody ever said that good. It won't be that long. But I appreciate you for just doing that. I ain't never had that.
Come on, man. I'm you always the one
in the back. I appreciate that. I'm always the one in the background, man. That was dope, man. I really appreciate that. And you know what? You were supposed to be on my AAU team, too. We was recruiting you, man. I'll never forget that. Pat had us calling you every day, man. You were supposed to be with us.
Man, y'all had the guards, though. Yeah. You, Donnie, Tommy, Kevin Augustine. Like, y'all had too many guards.
Nah, Kevin Augustine was playing.
Younger.
Yeah, he was going to play with us.
Yeah.
Because remember, Paul was like that fly age.
Yeah.
He had an October birthday, so he could have played both. But now he was going to play with us. And that was before Illusion Me.
Yeah.
It would have been me, you, and Donnie.
Yeah. I almost went to Fremont. And the coach told me I would have to back up Donnie. Sam gonna lie today. Sam, you gonna lie about that today? But D Rock was there.
Wow, that's your home school too, huh?
Yeah, I was trying to go to Fremont, bro.
They lost,
bro. All right, this is, ladies and gentlemen, this is my big bro. He is the big bro to any guard that come out of L.A. Like. Dog, like, to me, you know, when we talk about point gods, you know what I mean? I think, like the first person in real life, like, there's four people I was fans of, right?
Mm-hmm.
You, James Gray Gumby,
mm-hmm.
Stace Bozeman,
mm-hmm.
and... Why am I drawing a blank? Reggie Goins.
Mm. Man, he was a tough one.
Right?
Too. Yeah.
Playing football at Inglewood. That was my first time ever playing Pop Warner football.
Mm-hmm.
You was the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You commanded the whole shit. Hey, bro. Take me back. Take me back to that time because, you know, you play football, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if people know that. This motherfucker was Justin Field, all that shit. What's his name? Russell Wilson. That's who you was. Russell Wilson, deep ball. Throw the slant, throw the Jamel Jones post. Yeah.
Jamel Jones, wow. You still remember the names, too.
Hey, bro, we had a good time. Take me through that, man. You coming up, you know, growing up in L.A. Like, talk about, you know, young Jason Hart and, like, when you discover basketball and, more importantly, sports and, like, mm-hmm. what that did for you, you know, growing up in a city like this.
Well, you know, growing up in L.A. like you did, summertime, man, you know, we rode our bikes. We didn't have after-school programs or this or that.
Right.
So in the summertime, you either played football in the street mm-hmm. or you went to your local elementary to play basketball with all your homies.
Right.
And so back then, man, we was dreaming. I mean, obviously you did as well. Football was something that was part of our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, it wasn't, we didn't have, me and you growing up, our homies or older people going to the NBA.
No.
It wasn't like wasn't like thought of. So everybody was like, okay, I'm gonna be an NFL player or an NBA player. And, you know, quite naturally, just growing up with two older brothers, we played football. That's what got you tough for basketball.
Yep.
And so in the summer times, man, growing up, you played football. Mm-hmm. And that just carried over into Pop Warner. And it was something that the whole community did. Mm-hmm. So I met you at.
Yep.
And so many other friends. So football for me will always be my first love and first sport ever because, for one, it taught team, it taught unity, and like togetherness. It was like a real bond, man. You know, we really bonded on the football field, and I think that was one of the things that shaped us. I think shaped our community was football, man, for sure.
Now talk about, like, you know, you playing quarterback, you mm-hmm. the man, but also, like, at a very young age, you had a lot of responsibility, right, bro. Like, you was like a real, like, kid star, you know what I'm saying? Like, talk about, like, the football-basketball relationship, you know, growing up,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, it was almost like growing up in L.A., you couldn't have one without the other.
No doubt, man. And, you know, those names you said, Stace Bozeman, James Ray, they all play football. So we got to see them play football before the basketball part. But I think for me, man, My two older brothers played football, so I was just a natural at the park all day. And quarterback was a position like point guard where you get the ball. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that playing the quarterback position, learning all the plays, knowing where you need to be, where the offensive line need to be, I think it was just a natural thing for me, which led to me playing the point guard. Growing up, we didn't have positions. It was like you just went and hooped.
Yeah.
Nowadays in basketball, you got to have a position. But football was a leadership role, and I was able to understand the game early, and that's what led to me playing point guard at basketball. But football was always a place where we got refuge.
Yep.
And we're going to be rough.
Yeah. You're going
to
get it in.
You're
going to
get it in.
Knock somebody's head off.
I got you there at practice. That's what it was about, man. You're going to be rough and physical, and that's what it was, and we couldn't get in trouble for it.
Yep. I totally agree. It was like the best landscape to like get all your frustrations out, you know, no matter where you was from. But then, you know, transitioning to like playing to one of the best AAU programs, like I want to know, like, at what moment, right? Because there's a moment where you decide, like, basketball is what I'm going to be known for. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Take us on that journey.
Well, as you mentioned, the AAU program, I played at Jesse Owens Park. Mm-hmm. That was my part. And back then, everybody didn't have an AAU team or AAU program. Obviously, we played with K-Swiss, with Thad, and Harold. But my park was Jesse Owens Park. Pat Barrett would go out and recruit.
Yep.
That's what everybody would do, and go to the local parks in South Central and snatch the talent. I was still playing football, though, B. I was still football, basketball when I got with Pat. It wasn't until my sophomore year in high school where my dad came up there, because I played football as a freshman at Westchester.
Uh-huh.
Going to play varsity football, and my dad and Coach Azam behind my back said it would be best that I play basketball. I was still trying to do both.
Yeah.
Like, so that's what people like forgot. I played my whole freshman year, was about to be the starting quarterback as a sophomore, but my dad felt that this was the time. But I wasn't ready for that
yet. Right.
And so took their advice. Obviously, Coach Zim was a big influence on that. And that was one of the toughest days because, like, a lot of people had quit football. I still had that same level. Yeah, yeah. I took it all. I was like 16, still feeling like 7, 8. And people forget that. So, but it worked out, obviously, you know.
And your dad wasn't somebody you just could say no to.
Right. Hell no.
Hey, bro. I used to be scared of your dad playing on another team.
Man, my dad was this big old buff dude that worked hard and disciplined his boys and he gave you a look. That's when you was in trouble. But that's what it was, though, back then. Yeah. Remember, you got disciplined by in home first, not the streets. And my dad was one of them ones, and thank God he did.
Yeah. Would you relate, you know, because football, yes, and the mentality and, like, but, like, that overall toughness, like, what was it like, you know, growing up in a household, you know what I mean, with, like, strong men, you know what I mean, and, like, real dudes, like, how did that kind of mold you, you know what I mean, coming into, you know, high school and making that transition from, you know, football to basketball, you know what I'm saying?
Baron, you have big cousins. I had big brothers. It was mandatory that they was going to discipline you and have you physical ready. If you came home crying, B, you're going to get beat up by them.
Yeah.
So that was just natural. I don't know if anybody grew up in our era that wasn't tough.
Yeah.
Kenny, Barron, Bean, me, Danny Walker, Lujimi, Shea Cotton. Just naming them names. Like, none of us was like Danny Walker, Donnie Wilson. Nobody was soft.
No softies.
It wasn't.
No.
And that's why we all competed against each other. But that started from your big cousins and your older brothers putting hands on you.
Yeah.
Just daily, because you was little and you just had to get hands put on you.
Yo, 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 we got to tap in real quick. Let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. Who would you say is that coach, right, from a basketball standpoint, that he was like, damn, dog, like, if it wasn't for that dude, like, I don't even think that, you know what I mean, I would have chose this route, or if it wasn't for this dude telling me something, you know, like, who was that coach that kind of triggered, you know, like, the basketball journey?
Well, you know, playing for the park, you don't get them, you get volunteer coaches.
Yeah.
So I would credit that to, like, Thad and Harold.
Yeah.
Because, man, like, you know, them two dudes to me were like pioneers. Looking back what they did back, look at the pros they had.
Man.
Like, they don't get their props either. Like, so I would say those two let me know, like, this can be a real possibility.
Yeah.
Pat Barrett came in and snatched players from their program.
Yeah, for sure.
So I would have to say Thad and Harold for me, because they put us with other talented players and had us duking it out.
Our squad was fucking crazy. We got real pros. And it was like, when you think about it, like, we are the next first wave of an influx of LA dudes from the pros.
No question.
You know what I mean? And like, you know, kind of, I know, like, we shared, because we similar in age, like, it was always like, talk about like how that was, like, coming, like, you in high school, you high school All-American, you know what I mean? They like the bias around, you know what I mean? Or the stigma, right? Because you are nowhere near soft, you know what I mean? And you are everything opposite of soft,
right?
You know what I mean? On the basketball court. But the stigma, right? Yeah, what you had to go up against. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because, like, you was before me. So, like, talk to me about, like, being a high school point guard here in L.A. And, like, what did you have to shoulder and prove, you know what I mean, at that time, especially making a transition, you know, from football to basketball?
Well, the softness and the tough part, like, you had to go through Crenshaw.
Yep.
Crenshaw basketball was probably the best program in the country.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like for me, it wasn't even, like, proven to anybody outside of Los Angeles. I think we had to prove who we was in Los Angeles first.
Yep.
And just not being afraid to play against a Crenshaw team exposed you to some high-level competition, but it also made you either, you know, either going to sink or swim.
Yes.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, Fremont, your home school, Westchester, all these schools. So I just think that our L.A. culture, basketball, generated, you had to get your love and respect around your city first, man.
Yep.
And then, like, once we got out of here, once I was blessed to go to ABCD camp in Jersey, I was like, this ain't nothing, because back home, we used to play fight in the back of the lines with Dart. We would do certain things. So it wasn't nothing to go that far away from home, because we had it already, man. Ain't nothing soft about L.A. They think it is.
Right.
Wasn't never nothing soft about L.A.
And just talk, talk about that, man. I want to, like, dive into that, because, you know, at that time, you know, it was like, I didn't really know soft players that I watched, right? Who were some of the players that you watched that you start watching and be like, yo, I want to start, like, this is me, or I want to start taking from them?
So just going to, like, high school basketball games when we was young, man, it was a Sam Crawford.
Yep.
Stace Bozeman.
Yep.
James Gumby Gray.
Yep.
Legends. And then we would just hear about, like, the Harold Miners.
Yep.
Like, I was probably, like, elementary, like, sneaking into those games, just getting a chance to see him. And so those were the first fixtures of, for me growing up, seeing, like, damn, these dudes are really good.
Yeah.
John Staggers or Crenshaw, Kinnear's Holden. So those were the guys that we wanted to be like. And back then, I don't know if you remember, we never talked about league. It was like, man, just get a letter.
Yeah.
You want to get a letter.
Yeah,
you got a letter from UCLA. Yep. You was on for the game. It wasn't about NBA.
Yeah.
The talk changed, obviously, when you said, like, you know, Paul 98, you 99, I'm 2000. Before that, though, think about it, B, it was probably Harold Miner.
Yeah.
Now it's like just.
Yeah, it's open.
It's wide open.
It's
wide open. So that was our influences. Like, Harold Miner was our pro, and then we got to piggyback off him.
Yep. And then, I had a funny and good question for you. I done fucking forgot it. Oh, yeah, I got a good question. Why did you transfer from Westchester to Inglewood?
So, that's a good question. Man, at Westchester, you know, B, you kind of know my career. I was always on the team more like he the glue.
Yeah.
Of every team, right?
And
it's from AAU all the way up, and Coach Zan was probably my best basketball teacher, period.
Yeah.
Dude was super sharp. And I played with Ben Sanders and Danny Walker. They was the man.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to see what I had. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to see if I really could play.
Yeah.
And so, man, Pat Roy, you know, great coach at Inglewood, former player at Inglewood. Paul just had graduated. And it was just a perfect storm. So I wanted to go over there really be so I could see what I had. You know what I'm saying?
He was getting off though.
Man, I went from averaging 14 to 27. So I said, damn, I could have did that last year. But it all worked out, man. And that's why I went over to Inglewood. It was like going back to Pop Warner.
Yep.
And being around Dino and Dave Egan's, you know, former LA guys.
A squad,
as well.
Too. Yeah. Another great guard duo, too. You know what I mean? Like, because they was my class. They came up under you. So, like, to have them young wolves with you, y'all was nice, man.
And that was the whole thing. Nowadays, kids want to go where they just by themselves.
Yeah.
Nobody want to, like, go play on a good team.
Yeah.
Remember, it was us about just winning.
Yep.
And so that's what it was about, man, going back home and being around my homeboys. And Pat Roy understood the, you know, allowing people to get off.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of done with the pass and cutting.
All that. He was getting the
pass and cutting, man. Yeah. Did somebody tweet that out about the shot clock?
Yeah.
We was one of those. Yeah, we was getting 38 points. Yeah. So I would get like 9 and go back to school next day. Like, I was cracking with 9. At 9 points.
Hey, for real.
For real, you go to school. Like, I was on. 2 layups
you got
and 4
your little box score in the
in
paper.
Yeah, that was on, man. I got the 9, 10.
Easy.
But that was over with, though. So that Inglewood opened it up for me. I'm happy I went over there.
Well, and then why Syracuse? Like, who were the other schools? Because. Mm-hmm. At one point, dog, we was talking about doing this UCLA thing.
No,
like, remember that shit? Yeah. It was Midnight Madness.
Yeah,
it was me, you, Luz, somebody, Jelani,
Shay.
Man, we should have did that. You had a great career.
So for me, man, when I went to Syracuse. Well, rewind. Remember, B, when I went to ABCD camp, it blew up.
Yeah.
So I went to ABCD camp, probably not even ranked in the top 100, and then came out of there top 30.
Yep.
So. UCLA, Romar was like lukewarm recruiting me because they just had, I think, Cameron Dollar
was still there.
And then maybe Ty Zenny was about to graduate.
Yeah.
So Boeheim was like, man, he go to ball 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I just went to New Jersey and played in camp, did good. So I didn't make it like no brainer. You know, you called me, I committed. And at that time, that's what I wanted to do. And it wasn't being different because everybody dreamed of going to UCLA. It was just going somewhere where you was wanted. And going somewhere where another LA guy did good, and that was Stevie Thompson.
Yeah, and dog, you went to Syracuse.
Right.
Right? Like, you went to damn near, like, outside of the Pac-10 to the other mecca of guards.
Mm-hmm.
Man, talk about, like, walking into Syracuse as a freshman with the ball in your hand and then all the other point guards in the league, you know what I mean, who may have been older, had names. Like, what was that competition? What was that feeling like?
Well, if you think about it, looking back, I had to have been burnt out because at that time, when I committed in 95, Kerry Kittles, Ray Allen, Allen Iverson, Scoonie Penn, John Celestine, Alvin Williams, Kevin Norris in Miami. So for me, I didn't know what I was thinking. I must have been on super gas because I just named, like, look at all them dudes. They was killing the league. And thank God when I got there, they all went to the league. But it was surreal for me, man. Just, you know, you growing up, coming home 3 o'clock watching Big Monday, Syracuse, Georgetown, but it was good for me. And then, you know, a lot of coaches do lie in recruiting. Bay kept his word, man. Gave me the ball. I was the first freshman ever to lead the Big East in minutes per game.
Wow!
So I was like 34 minutes at 170 pounds.
Yeah.
So I had to be burnt out, but that was that LA culture that got me through that. And I was skinny, but I was tough and. Hey, it was killer.
And what was, like, the environment? You know what I mean? Going from, like, an L.A. person, right, to, like, dog, that was, like, for us, that was, like, we was all watching that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Because usually, you know, people go and then they transfer back home. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because for all different reasons. And you was in Syracuse. All I knew about Syracuse was, like, the snow.
Yeah, that's what it was, too. Hey, it was below 10, snow, cold, the whole thing. And that's where I first learned, like, Timberlands.
Uh-huh.
Like, as you start getting teammates from East Coast, I learned about Chuckas and the big old Averex jackets. And so the culture changed for me. But it was cool, though, because back then, you know, we was bumping Nas and Biggie.
Yep.
So it was like, man, we had a whole nother coast, but the love was real.
Yeah.
And then Boeheim, master recruiter, I was like, man, it's going to be cold out there. He was like, well, the dome is 72 degrees and it stay that way. He's like, what, LA, 74? I was like, yeah. He's like, well, 72. Yeah. I said, well, is it cold? He's like, yeah, I'm cold too.
Yeah.
So when those words was like, man, it's gonna be all right.
Yeah.
And it was, man. And obviously we did some good things together.
Well, what was some of your favorite matchups in the Big East, like point guard wise?
Man, I had a rival, and you had rivals coming up your high school, but my rival was a former McDonald's All-American. I didn't go to the McDonald's game. He did with Shaheen Holloway. Mm-hmm. He was a New York City dynamo.
Yes, he was.
And he and I are still friends to this day, and that started back at ABCD camp.
Uh-huh.
But every time we seen each other, he and I had like a personal. We would be playing like one-on-one with our team still. It was just personal, man.
Yeah.
But Shaheen Holloway, to this day, was probably my only college rival point guard because I wanted what he had.
Yeah.
And obviously, he wanted to beat Syracuse because obviously he was at Seton Hall. But that was my rival, man. He was one
That's
of the coldest.
That's crazy.
Man.
He was cold.
Super cold.
Did that rivalry start in high school at ABCD camp?
It started at ABCD camp. Me and Moose Bailey, mm-hmm. We was the only two players from California that went to ABCD camp. You guys all went to Nike.
Yeah.
He and I were the only ones. And so Marbury's little brother, all those dudes were there. So when we played him, I didn't know who nobody was.
Yeah.
I didn't know top ranked in the country. So that's when I knew it was real. He did like some little cheap, dirty stuff, elbow or something. I was in their coast. So that's when I was like, I don't like him. Period point, but I don't like him. And that's when our little rivalry started. And quite frankly, today, man, we still friends.
That's what's up. Now talk about not liking people and how I feel like that is a part of like your point guard aura. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And also like a great transition into being a great coach.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But talk about like as a point guard, when you lining up or you going to the game, what is in your DNA? What's in your trigger? You know, GP, he want to punk somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like yours is different.
Mm-hmm.
Like talk about like that point guard aura and like what's in that DNA. And then specifically talk about why you didn't like people and why you had to not like people.
So my aura was I would just lay up line. I would just stare at you down there like, oh, he think he's sweet.
Yeah.
You hear me? Like, look at him. Oh, he going to lay it up like that?
Yeah.
Oh, he tapping like that? Okay. You know, and that's when it was like, you got to think, but we would run out and do all the clapping.
Yeah.
You know, the Fremont culture, the Crenshaw. So all that taught you, like, I don't really like you right now. And it was easy. It was vice versa.
Yeah.
And so for me, man, I didn't like you because that was what got me going. Now, I heard Gary Payton, his was crazy with the Big Mac and all that. Mine was, you're not scoring on me today.
Yeah.
Because I told you, our coach, we wasn't getting number 35 points.
Right.
So I had to figure out some way to get myself going. And defense became my calling card because that was something I can control, something I can do, and something I can bring every game.
Mm-hmm.
And that, lo and behold, that ended up being my calling card for my career.
Right.
But that started from them layup lines, seeing you down there tapping or going to you think you sweet. You got your snaps on. And so that's where all that started from. Right?
Yo, you know what time it is. You know, this show wouldn't be where it is if it wasn't for our sponsors. Let them have it. I want to get into now, you know, you at Syracuse, All-American, you know, the accolades. Y'all do well in the tournament. Now you get drafted.
Mm.
It's different.
Yeah.
Now you going to a team with bona fide star point guards, right?
Cold.
You came in with another drafted point guard, Rafer Austin.
Right.
He was on the show. He shouted you out. He loved you, bro. He shouted you out.
Yep.
Like, talk about the transition from college All-American, right, to now coming into the NBA. And you may or may not play.
Right.
What was that like? And talk about like talk to these kids about the mentality that it takes to still be on top of your shit.
So, as we spoke earlier, I told you I was played all them minutes at Syracuse, man. So when I got drafted, second round, now you know first round lottery picks you're going to play. They committed to you. But being drafted second round, 49th pick, man, Sam Cassell was a starting point guard. Lindsey Hunter, who you know was a pit bull.
Yeah.
Ray Foster was the third, and I was the fourth. Now, back then, it wasn't like how they, when you get drafted now, second round, you get guaranteed money.
Yeah.
Me and Michael Redd, we had to, like,
get it out the mud.
Come on, man. Like, really, really.
For real.
And so, dating back to that L.A. mentality, that toughness that they say we soft and all that, it was just about competing every day.
Right.
And, man, at the end of the day, like, you know who good or not. Like, Sam Cassell was super cold.
Oh, my gosh.
And then Lindsey Hunter wouldn't let me dribble.
Yeah.
So, then Ray Foster was around here skipping, mm-hmm. really skipped to my Lewin. So, it was, to make that team for me, that's one of my biggest accomplishments because,
right.
shit, Ray Allen.
Donna, and that's a huge accomplishment. And yeah. that says something about you.
No question.
Because you never carried four point guards.
Never.
Never.
No.
Not in that era. There was never ever going to be four point guards because it was a big man era.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And when you think about Sam Cassell, Lindsey Hunter, Ray Frosty, you, Ray Allen, there was another guard, a two guard.
Michael Redd didn't play now.
Michael Redd didn't play, right? Like, talk about.
Big Dog, though, was the other wing.
Hey, dog, I still have Big Dog nightmares. Like, talk about, you know, playing with Sam Cassell, mm-hmm. right? Like, what was that? Like, because you could have folded.
Quit.
You know what I mean? Hey, dog, like, you know what I'm saying? You could have folded because these are real. Like, and their whole mentality, right, was like not to be nice to you.
Nah,
you know
wasn't.
What I mean? That like talk about like how do you get in? How do you get that respect? You feel what I'm saying?
So I learned early how to get that respect by coming, doing, and showing up every day. Like they like, who is you? You second round pick. You ain't, you know what I mean? Sam was super cocky, but he was cold, and Big Dog was from it. That was the era of the vet era.
Yep.
Like, you had, them was like OG vets.
You got to prove yourself.
Every day.
Every day.
And bringing donuts.
Yep.
And so, like, just, you know what, it was days where you like, man, this shit is tough. But the love of the game kept you going. And then as you earn that respect around about Christmas, what is it, January, Christmas, where they leave you alone, rookie? It was around about that time where, you know, you earn their respect and now you became a part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
But that era, I don't think that, I don't want to say this generation is softer because I don't think that's the case, but it was
just more constraints. It was just more confined.
The locker room wasn't as friendly.
Yeah, it was confined.
It was definitely fine. And, and those vets was holding on.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like Irvin Johnson and Scott Williams and Big Dog, they wasn't ready to get that up yet.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a young dude really had to earn it. They didn't give you nothing.
Right.
And you couldn't run and go tell nobody.
At all.
You don't tell your agent.
Yeah.
Your mama, your homeboy. That it was just a different era. That.
Ladies and gentlemen, the pioneer, L.A. Godfather, another risk taker, move maker, strategy. We'll be back, part two, with the legendary Jason Hart, who's now the coach of Ignite G League. I'm Baron Davis. This is Point God. This is the Point God Show, presented by Slick on iHeartMedia. Part two coming soon. Point God is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.